Christians don't, and then fill in the blank. And I'm guessing immediately you had something that jumped into your mind. And in fact, I thought about doing this exercise this morning where I give you all little pieces of paper and you would write down the thing that leapt into your mind. But I decided I didn't want to know you that well. So I didn't know what kind of heresy was living in this place. So, but you could fill this another way. You could say Christians are opposed to, or a follower of Jesus doesn't act like. And all of these are ways that we have, very much so, and people in my profession and Sunday school teachers and all, they've done this for years and years and years, is they've defined our faith by the things that we don't do. In fact, your youth group experience might have been like mine, which it was more each week was reminding me of some way I should not behave or some activity I should not engage in, as it was opposed to some other kind of positive way of defining our faith. And this is true not just for us internally, that we have defined our faith often by the things that we don't or shouldn't do or opposed to or against, which is a very negative word to use, but the culture has interpreted us this way as well. Way back in 2001, I was doing a media job at that time, and the outfit I was working with, we were covering a Christian business person's breakfast down in this little kind of conference room off the Boston Common. So we were going to go there. We were going to record the activity that morning in this Christian person's kind of breakfast before they all went to work. It was very early. I remember this super well. And the talk that day was facilitated by this fellow that some of you probably know, this fellow, Dr. Timothy Johnson. And if you know who I'm talking about right now, I know a couple of things about you. One is, and I don't know how to put this gracefully, but you have spent more revolutions on this planet around the sun than I have at this point. So it also means that you know what the nightly news is, or you know what Good Morning America is, because Dr. Timothy Johnson for 30 years was the chief medical correspondent for ABC News. And so he would show up on Good Morning America and talk about some article that had just been in the Journal of American Medicine or some such thing, or a study that had just come out. But he also, as being a journalist, being this medical journalist, he also was an ordained pastor in a Swedish pietistic tradition, the Evangelical Free Church. And so Dr. Timothy Johnson was the speaker that day. And of course, when somebody has this double life that they're leading, somebody's going to ask the question, do they know at your other job that you're a pastor or you're a Christian? And he said, they absolutely do. He said, the downside of that is every time I tell them they're a Christian, they say they know a few things about me right off the bat, which is Christians don't, and Christians don't. The Christianity has been defined in the culture as being a place where Christians don't do things. It's not been defined in a way that we act. And actually, in the mainline church, we've doubled down on the don'ts. And you want to know why? It's because there are other people that wear the name of Christ that we're uncomfortable with. So we've actually stopped telling people we're Christians because we don't want to be associated with them. And if we do tell them, we say, I'm a Christian, but I don't think one of these things that they do. We're constantly trying to say that our faith is something where things are lacking, where they're absent, where they're not present. And we're not defining our faith in terms of the things that we do. Now, you might push back on this and say, well, there's a good reason for this. There's a reason that we teach don'ts. And, you know, my youth group leader from high school might have said this too, which is we've got these Ten Commandments, and guess what they are? They're all don'ts. You shouldn't covet. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't commit adultery. You shall not do those things. But that's only partially true, because only 8 of the commandments are don'ts. 2 of them are positive statements. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and honor your father and mother. So not even that is completely a don't situation. In fact, 2 of them are 2 very big do's. But it's even less true when you think of it this way. the Ten Commandments are not themselves 10 standalone exhortations to the people of God. They are comment on two very positive commandments: that thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. Two positive commandments. Those don'ts, you know what they are? They are to remind you that if you are doing those things, you're not doing the positive things. Because you can't love God and bear false witness. You can't love your neighbor and steal from them. You can't do the positive thing if you're doing these other things. It's impossible to accomplish. And so the faith is really, and the greatest commandment is really, a commandment of doing and not of don'ting. So when we get to Jesus' wrap-up today of all of these instructions, a very long chapter that Matthew has kind of collected, maybe from one sitting, maybe from a bunch of sittings, about how Jesus' disciples are going to go out and they're going to proclaim the kingdom of God in all of the villages that are nearby. And he said lots of things, some that are encouraging, some that are discouraging. But when he gets to the end of it, he wants to make sure to put it in the context of doing. This is the thesis statement: whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. He wants his disciples to know that there is a measure of success, and that measure of success is in the doing of welcoming. And truth is, folks, if you are doing the welcoming and the work that we do and the community around us, you can't be doing these other things. You can't be excluding people if you're welcoming people. You can't be giving water to people and also withholding the things that they need from them. Our faith is one of action, not a one of inaction. It's not one of trying to find the things that we shouldn't do or shouldn't engage in, or the people that we should not talk to or be in conversations with. It is about doing one thing. Even for Jesus, where he's given lots of instructions about how it's going to be hard when they go out there, how it's going to be hard in their families and in their communities when they say the kingdom of God is near, he tells them, just take a step back, and the measure is, are you doing this one thing? Are you welcoming? And so it's an exhortation to kind of focus his disciples' mind on what they are to do. And so it is an exhortation to ourselves as well to focus our minds on the one thing that we should be doing, which is welcoming. But Jesus very cleverly uses this a double way. Because the welcoming that he's speaking of here is not just the measure and guide of success of the mission activity of his disciples, it is also the way for them to feel encouraged that the kingdom of God is coming near. Because he doesn't set up a great big long list of things that these people in these villages need to do to acknowledge the kingdom's nearness. The thing that is the measure of their missional success is also the measure of the receptiveness of the kingdoms being near to the people they go to, which is that they welcome you as well. Welcome is that lowest common denominator that means that the kingdom is coming. It is the place where all kingdom activity starts. It's where our mission activity starts, but it also is where we see that we're making ground. When other people start to welcome, that means the kingdom is coming close. Not just when we welcome people, but when the welcoming attitude, the doing attitude that we have becomes infectious and is given to those folks. And they start to welcome us back. We need to be welcomed as much as we need to welcome other people. I mean, think about the behaviors that you have. You might easily be able to find a way that you're not very welcoming to a person. But it might be harder to think, why does that person not welcome me in the first place? what's wrong with me that I'm not to be welcomed? Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling us, that we're to measure the work that we're doing by the welcome that we sometimes receive. We're to take that as encouragement. He doesn't tell them everybody's going to welcome them, but he's saying, when you see somebody who's welcoming you, that's the place to work. We're not going to bang our heads on places where we are continually turned away. This is an act of defiance in the kingdom. It's an act of welcome in the kingdom. And that's the way we'll know that the kingdom is coming near. I find that encouraging myself, because there are lots of measures I'd like to use for the success of a parish like this. And mine might be easier. But welcoming, that's something that starts small. Welcoming is something that can grow into something else. And if we build on what we have already, which is a sense of welcoming and also being welcomed, then we can proclaim that the kingdom of God is in this place and around this place and in the community where we are welcoming people and being welcomed. Amen.